Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today is Mr. Alfonso Torres. He's the director and partner in Eli Logistics in Monterrey, Mexico. First and foremost, compa, welcome to see you here, Alonso.
No. Thank you for having me in this interview. I'm pleased.
It's a pleasure. And yes, it's a long time since I had an interview with anyone from Mexico, but it reminds me that I have to come and visit your country soon. I think it's possible now, even with no corona, right?
Well, corona is here, but it's owned by somebody in another country. But it's plenty of coronas, don't worry.
Okay. Yeah, but now I was thinking the coronavirus, not the beer.
Oh, I thought the corona beer. I'm sorry about that. Corona, yeah, anytime.
Okay, good to hear.
Coronavirus is almost gone here.
Good, Alfonso. Okay, so let's get back in gear. First and foremost, Alfonso, please tell our viewers a little bit about yourself. How did you end up as director and partner in Eli Logistics? And why did you start a career in logistics? What's your background?
Okay, thank you. I am a mechanical engineer. I studied here in Tech de Monterrey. And then my father used to have with his brothers a trucking company that my brother took over. I started working for General Electric, and I lasted there for 20 years.
Wow.
And then, but my brother's focus on the domestic markets. I joined them 7 years ago when I left General Electric, and we then focus on the international market. Primarily right now, US, Canada, Mexico, cross-border moves in our own fleet and subcontractor as well. Okay. And we do also some overseas, mainly maritime and cargo projects. So I've been in charge since all this time, and we've been doing, I guess, some good work, and we have opportunities ahead.
Okay, so tell me, Monterrey, where you are located, where is that in Mexico? Just so our viewers have some idea, where is that located?
Monterrey is in the northeastern part. We are 120 miles, like 20 to 30 kilometers from the US border.
Okay.
We border with Texas.
Oh yeah.
We are maybe, 5-6 hours driving to Houston,
okay.
Texas.
Okay.
And so, yeah, we are pretty well located. Yes. We are in the corridor that goes from the I-35, for those who are familiar with the U.S.
Okay.
Highway. We are in I-35 all the way down to Mexico City. It's Monterrey, and then you get into the U.S.
So that means you mentioned that you do a lot of trucking and North American trucking. You have your own, you say you have your own trailers, and you even go as far as Canada, right?
Yes, we have a fleet of about 35 tractors and about 70 trailers.
Okay, wow.
And with those, we move them around Mexico and US. We don't go with our own fleet to Canada as of now, but okay. We cover with some connections we have there. We do have exchange of trailers with Canadian and US companies. If you're not familiar with that, what happens in the border between Mexico and the US, in some cases you can either go with your own truck if the driver has the permits to go through,
okay.
Or you can exchange trailers.
Does it mean that somebody else takes your trailer to the final destination and you get a trailer in return, or how does it?
No, basically is, for instance, let's suppose there's a cargo coming from the US into Mexico City.
Yeah.
And it's driven by a US driver.
Okay.
When it gets to the border, he unhooks the trailer, then we take it with our tractor, bring it down to Mexico City, and then we get a load for them to bring again to the border, and then they take inside the
US. Okay. So
it works both ways.
Oh yeah.
Southbound and northbound, trying to get loads.
And then of course it's important that you can trust whoever you're working with, because I mean it is your hardware, right? And I suppose, is there a lot of traffic both ways? Trucks, and it must be huge.
It's humongous.
Yeah.
I think is the one crossing point with more trade crossings all over the world. I'm talking ground crossings.
Yes, yes.
Maybe, I don't know, Tijuana, which is in the west part of Mexico, northwest part, is second, third, maybe. But we Laredo, which is our crossing point,
yeah,
is the, I wouldn't, I think I'm not wrong if I say is the first in volume of crossings per day,
wow,
of ground crossings, international trade.
Wow.
So there's more, like, I don't know the number right now, but it should be around
thousands, yeah,
2,000 crossings per day.
Wow, it's unbelievable. Yes, of course, when you look at the map, I just have it here behind me, and it's quite a huge, I mean, US is a huge market, both in and out, and of course, for Mexican products. Tell me, Alfonso, a little bit more about your company. How many staffs are you currently in your company?
In the brokering side, we are about 20.
Okay.
20 people, and encompassing everybody, the fleet, we are around 100.
Okay, that's pretty substantial. And I understand you also have offices in the capital, Mexico City, and elsewhere.
Yes, we have our office in Mexico City. It's more a commercial office.
Yeah.
We have 3 people there, and we have offices in Querétaro, which is about 100 miles north of Mexico City. And we have Monterrey, which our headquarters, our main terminal is. And we have also office in Laredo, which is the crossing point to the US.
Right, got it. May I ask, I'm not so familiar with Mexican trade. Is it, of course, the capital, Mexico City, is a lot of decision-making made there for things around in Mexico, even for logistics? Is that why you have an office there, or is it because many, let's say, many decision-makers are sitting there?
Yes, many decision-makers in Mexico City, but those decisions are related to government issues.
Ah,
and, right, and since government spends a lot in infrastructure, in the ports, and so a lot of contracts, a lot of people need to be in Mexico City, you know,
yeah,
to play the game or to play the business, if you want to, you know, get connections and all that. But Monterrey, on the other hand, is more industrial. We have a lot of companies in many sectors, like steel, car, chemistry, cement. I mean, a lot of industries here,
yeah,
that export and import stuff. So in the private industrial side, Monterrey is, I would say, the second largest in Mexico.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, it's no, there's no doubt Mexico is really a huge market. I used to live in China myself, and I've seen also a lot of outsourcing from where Chinese companies, in order to get closer to North America, they move production to Mexico.
Right.
Yes. Is that something you see as well, Chinese companies coming in with production in Mexico?
Yes, we see not only Chinese companies coming into Mexico.
Okay.
Actually, there's been a few recently that announced openings here of plants. They normally start with a small investment and they grow from there. But also I see I guess you're familiar with the nearshoring term.
Yeah, a little bit.
The people see some opportunity down the road for US companies that currently manufacture stuff in China, maybe thinking of relocating closer to their,
yeah,
market, that is Mexico. So yeah, that I see that to happen. The trade in the North American area, Mexico, Canada, and the US, I think is here to stay for many years and to grow.
Yeah.
If you look at the population, the growth and the pyramid of you know, the consumers here, there's quite good opportunities for growing down the road.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course now with all this let's say COVID-19 and China's policy on that, and factories are closed or not closed, and you never know, maybe it makes sense to move production closer to where the market is instead of transporting it across the Pacific. I mean, yeah, hopefully Mexico has a huge workforce. And in general, if I may just ask, how is Mexico doing right now as a country economically? Is it going well according to your standards?
We're not doing very well overall.
Okay.
Overall, Mexico as a whole country, I guess the estimation this year is 2%. Next year is two or almost two.
Yeah.
And it's been the forecast has been reducing because all the policies and all that. So I guess we as a country have a better opportunity of growing faster and at higher rate. But the policies of the government, that's a political view. I don't agree with many of them.
No, I can understand. Turning back to Eli Logistics in Monterrey, which year did you start your company officially?
Eli Logistics started in 2003.
So you've been around almost 20 years. That's very years, good. Correct. Have a good track record here. And also, I understand that you are now looking at developing your business, not only to do land-based transportation, but also more and more including overseas transport. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. We've been doing that for quite a while, okay. But in small scale. We have customers that export products from Mexico to Europe, and we bring other imports from China as well.
Yeah.
But I think there's opportunity there too. And we want to make our company to have a better reach in those areas.
Yes.
So not only on the containerized, but also on the cargo projects. We
coordinate
some cargo projects for customers in Mexico. And I see a lot of growth there down the road as well. So we want to be a player, start, you know, getting more of that business for.
Yeah. No, for sure. As I said, Mexico have many ports, both on the, let's say, the Pacific coast and also the Gulf coast, and certainly an interesting market. So that means if any of our viewers, they have some project going into Mexico, let's say coming into Veracruz or Tampico or wherever in Mexico, then you can do the inland transportation to final destination in Mexico, right?
That is correct. We can take loads, either containers or loose cargo from the main ports, which are Manzanillo in the Pacific, and Altamira and Veracruz in the Gulf or in the Atlantic.
Right.
We cover those. And
in Mexico, is the customs clearance normally done on arrival or in the port before you can do the inland transport, right?
Yes, it has to do. It is done in the port. As soon as the cargo is offloaded of the ship, and then you need to hire or get your customs broker, make the inspections paperwork, and get across. It's now more. It's less. I guess it flows better now. In recent years, I've seen an improvement in customs. So they go for appointment. I mean, they work on an appointment base when you go on pickup, and it's working much better than it used to.
That's good to hear. One of the other questions I was just meaning to have, you have the land border also with some of the Central American countries. Do you also do transportation to those, let's say, smaller countries bordering up to Mexico?
We have done quite some, but it's not our core. It's not our core. There are other companies more to the south of Mexico that take care of it. So, no, we don't do that.
Okay. No, but I always like when I ask people questions in my interviews that they are, instead of saying, yes, we can do everything, better to be honest, what one is good at and what one is not so good at. It gives much more respect. So I appreciate your response on
Thank
that. and how do you see the market now for 2023? If you look into your crystal ball, as soon we are at the end of the year, you feel up, you feel positive, and it will go well?
I feel positive, although there's a lot of uncertainty, mainly, I mean, worldwide, but mostly in the US, with the fears of the inflation and stagflation and all those things on the air. But I feel confident. I've been talking and approaching our main customers, our key customers in the US,
Yeah.
And they don't see, you know, things going down very bad. They see at least to keep the pace they have been having in the recent months, which is strong compared to the pre-COVID activity. So, I mean, anything can happen, but at least I see confidence in our key customers. So,
some guy told me the other day, don't read newspapers because they only sell good when they have negative news. It's actually depressing to read newspapers. Yes. You have a good life and you feel it's like hell because you read too many newspapers.
So. Yeah, that might be true. Maybe I read a lot of newspapers.
So better focus on the sports section, you know?
Yes.
Also, one of my final question here is, when you have when you do trucking into the US or back, who normally pays the freight? Is that different from time to time, or is it often X Works or the buyers pay the freight? What would you say is average? Who decides which company to use?
For us, being based mostly in Mexico, the most freight is paid in Mexico.
Okay. But,
you know, we are hired by Mexican companies and then we get paid by Mexican companies. Maybe in 60% of the case.
Okay.
And then 40% we get paid by either the buyer of the products in the US, because they arrange X Works, and then the seller refers to the buyer, and then that's when we do our selling work. But it's I would say 60% pays by the Mexican and 40% by either US or Canadian company.
Yeah. But that's a healthy mix. So you're not too depending on any just one, you know. So that sounds.
That's correct. Yes. Yes,
sounds
yes.
Like a good deal. Very interesting, Alfonso. No, I think also very, you sound to be like a very competent trucking company, been around more than 20 years. So I'm quite sure you're doing well there. And now you also will develop further the overseas part. And certainly we will have discussions later on that. But I think for now, I think I have not any more specific questions just this moment. But I think I wish to say many, many thanks for giving time for Project Cargo Weekly for this interview. Thank you, Alfonso.
No, my pleasure. Anytime. And hopefully we can do something in that matter very soon.
I'm sure we can. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been director and partner, Mr. Alfonso Torres. He is involved with Eli Logistics in Monterrey, Mexico, and what seems to be a very competent and skilled trucking company, also with overseas capabilities. So do contact them if you feel interested in them. And for me here, thank you very much, and stay tuned for more future interviews. Thank you.